Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I'll be with you for this next hour, and you can call us 888-302-3684 with questions related to medicine, nutrition, health, any aspect of your healthy lifestyle. And we got lots of stories to share with you this hour, so you should have plenty of time to field questions as well. 888-302-3684. And the big story this week is a really, really big story. You know, remember Ed Sullivan, a really, really big show? Well, it's a really, really big story. And it speaks to the issue of nature versus nurture. Okay, so we know that the way we are is a combination of our genetic endowment, what's in our chromosomes, the genetic code that dictates many aspects of our health, but also our lifestyle. And we're learning more and more about genes so that we can now do some gene mapping for certain traits. But if we depend too much on a genetic interpretation, sometimes it leads us to become fatalistic, deterministic, i.e., we tend to believe that our fate is encoded in our DNA and that there's not that much we can do about it. And so this is an article in the New England Journal of Medicine that wasn't much heralded. There was a nice article in the New York Times. I think Wall Street Journal covered it. But it's a very, very important story that evaluates the role the genes play versus the role that lifestyle plays in whether or not you're going to get the most common cause of death, which is heart disease. We now recognize that the major killer in America, still to this day, both among men and women, it's a little known fact that women actually have as much or more heart disease than men. They just get it later. That it's obviously a combination of genetics and lifestyle, but what's the role that each play? And that's what this very ambitious study seeks to address. The study entitled Genetic Risk, Adherence to a Healthy Lifestyle, and Coronary Disease. And what they did here, it's quite ingenious. They looked at several DNA glitches, DNA combinations that may predispose to cardiovascular disease. Now, there is no one single gene that puts you at risk for cardiovascular disease, but they looked at a complex array of genes that put you at risk for cardiovascular disease, that roughly double your risk of cardiovascular disease if you have these genes. And then they looked at studies that looked at coronary calcium and cardiac outcomes, i.e. death from heart attacks or heart attacks that are non-fatal. And they looked at aspects of lifestyle, and they compared people who didn't have the bad genes to people who had the bad genes. Very, very complicated study. And I think they did a marvelous job in putting all this information together. They found that the risk of coronary events was 91% higher among participants at high genetic risk. That translates into twofold risk if you had the bad genes. But then they looked at what happens if, say, you have the bad genes, but you follow a healthy lifestyle. Now, a healthy lifestyle, that's subject to interpretation, because that's all we talk about here on Intelligent Medicine week after week. What constitutes a healthy lifestyle? And there's a lot of debate about that. But there's a few verities about what is a healthy lifestyle. One is keep your body at optimal weight. The other is refrain from smoking. The other is exercise, and the other is to be on a healthy diet. Well, in this case, the healthy diet, in my opinion, was a pretty I don't know, pretty lackadaisical definition of a healthy diet. Basically, don't eat a lot of junk, don't consume tons of sugar, don't eat a lot of refined foods. It wasn't exactly a radical concept. It wasn't a strict paleo diet or a macrobiotic vegetarian diet or an ultra low-carb ketogenic diet. It was just don't eat junk. That was their definition of a healthy diet. What was their definition of exercise? Pretty modest definition, at least a day a week of moderate exercise. Smoking, that's easy. Either you smoke or you don't smoke. That's pretty binary, right? Either you do or you don't. And weight, the weight criteria were according to some standard of optimal weight. And what they found is that if you hit all four goals, you could almost completely mitigate the risk associated with your genetics, which is pretty cool. It suggests that those who have a strong family history of heart disease, say, you know, you got an uncle who died at 45 of a massive heart attack, and your dad passed away at 55, and mom's on very high cholesterol, has very high cholesterol and requires medication, and so on and so on and so on. Siblings with early heart disease, even under those circumstances, and we, you know, these, by the way, these genetic tests in this study are not generally accessible to the public yet. This is for a special in-depth scientific study. But you can almost extrapolate genetic risk by looking at your family history. The suggestion is that we can do a pretty good job of mitigating our risk by engaging in some simple lifestyle modifications. And so I'll try and quote for you from the article. In conclusion, after quantifying genetic and lifestyle risk among 56,000 participants, we found that adherence to a healthy lifestyle was associated with a substantially reduced risk of coronary artery disease within each category of genetic risk. And that's really good news when it comes to the kind of medicine that we talk about here on Intelligent Medicine. No, it's not about genes. It's not your fate to be sick. We can actually take our fate in our hands and modify our risk through healthy lifestyle measures. And hey, they don't even talk about the potential role of supplements or some of the other things that we advocate here on this program. Spiritualism, spirituality, yoga, biofeedback, meditation, stress reduction, adequate sleep, all these risk factors go into the equation over whether you're going to get ill. 888-302-3684 is our number. And before we take a break, let me tell you about the Zona Plus. If you're interested in managing your blood pressure without medication, I've got some exciting news about a new effective non-drug treatment. It's the Zona Plus, and we've been getting some excellent feedback from our listeners. Many of my patients are using this device. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. And I believe this is the real deal for helping people overcome dependency on blood pressure medication. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. At least 22 clinical studies confirm that regular use can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks. So to find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. That's 888-408-6141 or tryzona.com. Tryzona.com. All right, we'll be right back with your phone calls, more health information. You're welcome to call us 888-302-3684 for Intelligent Medicine. How far would you go to maintain healthy blood pressure? Would you eat 3 bowls of kale and spinach every day? Well, probably not. Well, lucky for you, you don't have to. Helping to support healthy blood pressure and circulation just became hassle-free. Introducing Heart Greens from Humanen, the functional food that you drink using the same dark leafy greens recommended by both the DASH and Mediterranean diets. Heart Greens are specially tested for high dietary nitrates, which convert to nitric oxide in the body. That's why it works so well for supporting healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. Get a free canister of Heart Greens with your first order and a 100% money-back guarantee. Heart Greens even guarantees you'll love the taste. Plus, receive a set of nitric oxide indicator strips to monitor your dietary nitrate levels before and after and see the change for yourself. Try Heart Greens. You'll love it. Call 800-951-8940. That's 800-951-8940. Or visit IntelligentGreens.com. That's IntelligentGreens.com. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. 888-302-3684 is our number. And we got a new way to for you to get through to us with questions. You can call us during this hour, of course. You can also email us your question to radioprogram at AOL.com, and we'll use your question as grist for the mill for our weekly podcast, our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer listener questions. And then you can listen to the podcast and hear your question answered. Now, alternatively, if you go to drhoffman.com, there's a black bar on the homepage. A mysterious black bar has appeared, just like the obelisk in 2001. And what's it all about? Well, if you click on that black bar, you'll be prompted to leave an audio message. And that audio message can be in the form of a question. And then we'll play that question on this program, and I'll answer the question on the air. So let's rev it up, Caleb.
I've been struggling with small intestinal bacterial overgrowth for 2 years now and have been taking a variety of antimicrobials, allicin, berberine, oregano, peppermint, and have stayed on the diet. I make my own bone broth, stayed on the low FODMAP. And anyhow, I'm still struggling with this and was wondering if you had any insights to SIBO. Thank you.
Okay. So SIBO, it's a hot topic in integrative medicine and in conventional medicine these days because we've discovered a new cause of gas, bloating, indigestion, and irritable bowel syndrome. SIBO stands for small intestine bacterial overgrowth, and I've written extensively on it. You can find my articles at drhoffman.com. You can also go to a very fine website called siboinfo.org, I think, which is a compendium of information about natural and conventional treatments for SIBO. Now, how do you know that you have SIBO? Well, there's a test that confirms it, which is a hydrogen breath test. And you get that done at doctor's offices. The test involves drinking a liquid and then blowing into a container, a receptacle, that will be sent to a laboratory where they analyze it for hydrogen content. If you're making a lot of hydrogen gas, then you have a lot of fermentation in your small intestine. The bacteria are proliferating there, and they're creating byproducts that are picked up in the gas analysis of your breath, the breath test, hydrogen breath test. And so if you get a diagnosis of that, well, one of the reasons this diagnosis is so popular is because among conventional doctors, finally, is they recognize that it's a good target for medication. So that's the way that sometimes conditions get on the map. When they invent a medication, it's find a bug and use a drug. In this case, it's a bacterial overgrowth, so there's certain types of antibiotics that help to eradicate the bacterial overgrowth. The medication in question is Xifaxan. It's rather expensive. It's not absorbed into the bloodstream, so it's safer than many other antibiotics. It reduces the bacterial count, but I don't like to use it that much. First of all, it's very, very pricey. A lot of patients don't get full reimbursement for it. Secondly, once you use an antibiotic, bacterial resistance emerges. So you get a temporary fix. Maybe your diarrhea will abate and some of the gas and bloating will abate, but it's only temporary and the SIBO comes roaring back. So what's ultra important in dealing with SIBO is, and this gets missed, you can't just give people an antibiotic or herbs. You have to follow a diet. And the diet that often helps that is the specific carbohydrate diet, which is often used for ulcerative colitis and Crohn's. It's a grain-free diet. It's a low-sugar diet. Also, you can use something called the FODMAP diet. We'll be doing a podcast on the subject of the FODMAP diet in 2017. It's hard to say 2017, but we're coming up to 2017. So diet is very important. And some of the things that this lady has used, she's obviously an aficionado. She's used allicin, which is a very potent extract of garlic. It's different than chiolic aged garlic extract because it contains allicin, and allicin is a strong antimicrobial that helps to destroy harmful bacteria or suppress them. Berberine from Oregon grapeseed or grapefruit is helpful. So is oregano. And we use a combination of these herbs sometimes in treating SIBO. We'll use probiotics to repopulate the small intestine with good bacteria that compete with the bad bacteria and keep them suppressed. Another problem that occurs in SIBO is motility. If you don't move your food along with peristalsis and your food gets stuck, this is sometimes referred to as gastroparesis, you will cause fermentation to arise in your small intestine. And sometimes the strategy for alleviating that is to use things that accelerate the peristalsis. Certain herbs do that. Certain promotility agents do that. So it's complicated dealing with SIBO, and some patients have trouble eradicating the bad bacteria. But it's a great target, helps patients understand their gastrointestinal tract, and we use treatment for SIBO to relieve patients' problems. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. Want to call Intelligent Medicine.
Do your probiotics have baggage? They should. You see, if your probiotics do not include prebiotics as well as postbiotics, then you are missing out on a lot of healthy benefits. Most probiotic products do not contain prebiotics, their food, or postbiotics, the organic matter that promotes the long-term colonization of the good versus bad bacteria in your body. But Dr. O'Hara's probiotics does. Select live probiotic bacteria are blended with fruits, vegetables, seaweed, and herbs, and allowed to grow over 3 years to assure superior digestive and immune support. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics then combines this rich culture medium, prebiotics, and the resulting nutrients from this fermentation process, postbiotics, providing you with a superior probiotic supplement. No other probiotic can offer your body this support. So switch to the best premium probiotic on your retailer shelf today. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, available at fine health food stores. Don't accept a substitute. If you were there for the dawning of the Age of Aquarius, this message is for you. You can fight the effects of aging by eating right, exercising, and getting some garlic every day. The healing and health-giving properties of garlic are as wonderful as Venus aligning with Mars. And the easiest way to get all of garlic's benefits is with chiolic aged garlic extract. Natural aging makes organically grown chiolic a true antioxidant. Hospital and university studies show that chiolic aged garlic extract helps maintain healthy cholesterol levels and normal blood pressure while improving circulation. Chiolic even helps build your immune system so you can keep on keeping on. For more information or to find a store near you, visit chiolic.com. That's K-Y-O-L-I-C.com. Chiolic aged garlic extract for people who take their garlic and their health seriously. Chiolic aged garlic extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And we're here to take your calls, should you care to call us. 888-302-3684 is a number. Before we get to more information about medicine and health, here's an important announcement. Do you suffer from frequent tiredness or fatigue? You know, I wrote a book called Tired All the Time, How to Regain Your Lost Energy. And the reason I wrote it is because it's such a prevalent complaint among my patients. And there's a supplement that I've relied upon with patients and I've taken myself over the last decade or so. It's Propax with NT Factor. It's the only nutritional system that's clinically proven to reduce and eliminate fatigue, whatever the cause. The research is there. Whether it's age, illness, or just being run down, ProPax with NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics is a complete vitamin and mineral formula with antioxidants, pre and probiotics, omega-3s, and NT Factor, all combined to help you feel better, and it contains no harmful ingredients. I recently heard a lecture on Lyme disease, and the lecturer treats a lot of patients who are knocked out and debilitated from Lyme disease, and he uses ProPax with NT Factor to return patients to a state of normal energy. ProPax with NT Factor repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown ProPax reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've personally been taking it. I recommend it to my patients at the Hoffman Center. And with a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. So to order, call 800-982-9158 or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Once again, 800-982-9158 for ProPax with NT Factor. Okay, they often say that one of the ways to help you lose weight is to drink a lot. What's the science behind that? Well, here's research that's based on looking at nearly 10,000 adults aged 18 to 64. And what they found was that inadequate hydration may be a risk factor for obesity. What they found is that only one-third of the participants in the study were inadequately hydrated. Two-thirds were adequately hydrated. Relative to hydrated individuals, people who were inadequately hydrated, didn't drink enough, had higher body mass index by 32%. You were more likely to be obese by 60%. So what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that there is a correlation between obesity and lack of adequate fluid intake. Doesn't necessarily tell us that if you consume a lot of fluid, the pounds will melt off. But it does suggest that individuals who are overweight neglect their hydration, and that maybe, just maybe, the solution to overweight is to, at least in part, to consume adequate fluids. That could be part of the answer. This item, which harkens back to something that I talked about in the beginning of the show, genetics versus lifestyle. And here we're talking about obesity. Before we were talking about cardiovascular disease. We now have identified genes which predispose to obesity. We haven't nailed it down because it's very complex. There are many genes involved. And one in particular is called the FTO gene. The FTO gene predisposes to overweight. And so, again, is someone who has an FTO gene necessarily going to be overweight, or can they overcome their genetic predisposition? And they looked at the influence of not diet, but exercise on genetic predisposition to obesity. And the good news is that in this study, physical activity was found to blunt the genetic effect of the FTO gene on overweight by an astonishing 36 to 75%. In other words, you may have that gene, and if you sit on your duff, you're going to be fat. But if you engage in a regular exercise program, you will reduce the risk of obesity by 36 to 75%. And we're not talking diet here. Imagine the combined effects of diet and exercise. Many studies have actually poo-pooed the effect of exercise on weight loss, because if you're following a really crappy diet, you can exercise your brains out and you're still going to be overweight. So you got to do the diet part too. But the encouraging message of this study is that physical activity counts when trying to overcome a genetic potential for overweight. That's really good news for exercisers. All right. This item has to do with a condition called sarcopenia. Sarcopenia is the inevitable progression of muscle loss and ultimately weight loss that leads to frailty, especially in older adults. Big problem, right? People get, you know, they lose weight. They can't keep the pounds on. And it's mostly about losing muscle mass. It's estimated that people lose about 10% of their muscle mass every decade past the age of 50, unless they engage in strenuous physical activity. Even then, you're still going to lose some of that muscle mass due to aging, due to loss of hormones. That's an inevitable process. So there's a promising nutrient that can help to forestall that. So listen up, those of you who are concerned about frailty. If you or a loved one starting to get a little bit running on fumes, this supplement may help you. Leucine supplementation enhances protein synthesis in older men, whether or not they consume a lower or higher protein diet. Just eating protein alone doesn't do the job sometimes. And one of the insights of modern nutrition, it was thought that older individuals need less protein as they age, right? No, it turns out that older individuals may need more protein as they age to maintain muscle mass. But leucine's an amino acid. It's less well known, but it's available in health food stores. Leucine has been shown to help offset the effects of low protein diets, but does it make a difference in people who consume adequate protein? In this study, it did. 20 healthy older men, aged 65 to 85, either received low protein or high protein diets, and then they got leucine supplements. Now, how much leucine? It was 5 grams per meal. That's 15,000 milligrams per day. 5 grams would be 5 capsules, and probably it'd be better to consume it as a powder with meals. What they found was that muscle protein synthesis was increased in the older men, 65 to 85, consuming leucine with each meal. And that's good news in terms of a strategy for staving off sarcopenia or frailty with aging. 888-302-3684 is our number. And we got more to go. More questions coming up on today's edition of Intelligent Medicine.
At Nordic Naturals, we know that a commitment to deliver the world's safest, most effective omega oils requires an exceptional process. That's why we manage every step of production from boat to bottle. That includes sustainably sourcing wild-caught fish from well-managed fisheries. It means using state-of-the-art equipment and technology at our manufacturing plant in Arctic Norway. Nordic Naturals bottles and encapsulates our omega-3s at our own facility and carefully ships products from our eco-friendly headquarters in California. The result? Nordic Naturals products have received more than 40 awards for taste, innovation, and product excellence. You can trust the quality of Nordic Naturals products and know you're getting all the health benefits omega-3 fish oils offer. Nordic Naturals' high-quality, great-tasting omega-3s make staying healthy easier for you and your family. When choosing an omega-3 fish oil product, choose the number one fish oil in the U.S. Choose Nordic Naturals. Available at natural product retailers or online at nordicnaturals.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Don't forget our weekday podcast. We post them every day of the week at drhoffman.com. You can subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher. All the subscription services carry our podcasts. And interesting topics. We talked to Michael Murray about diabetes prevention and treatment. We recently did a podcast on the subject of ADHD Nation, a book by a fantastic guest who talked about the prevalence of diagnosis of attention deficit disorder and hyperactivity among our kids. It turns out that if you're a boy in America, by the time you're 18, you got about a 20% chance of being diagnosed with ADHD, and then you're relegated sometimes to a lifetime on medication. And is that right? Is big pharma, pharmaceutical industry behind this in an effort to get more and more market share? Well, according to investigative reporter at the New York Times, Alan Schwartz, he dishes on the overdiagnosis of ADHD in this country. Great podcast. So many similar podcasts on a variety of topics of interest to you at drhoffman.com. Check them out. We've got nearly 3.5 million downloads so far in the past couple of years we've been doing them. And we love it when people listen to them and enjoy them for free. It's all free and available at drhoffman.com. All right, check out our next caller, Lisa from Michigan. Are you from Michigan, Lisa?
Yes, I am.
How you doing? You're a Michigander. A Michigander. Is that correct?
Yes, that's what they say.
That's an odd term, you know, a Michigander. But I guess that's it. An inhabitant of Michigan is a Michigander. Okay.
I have an unusual kind of question. I had a problem with my left foot where my left foot felt a little colder than my right. So I went to this artery specialist.
Yeah, you go to a peripheral vascular specialist. Yeah.
Right, and that's what they told me that I had. And he wanted me to take three medications, which was a baby aspirin, a statin drug, and a drug called Plaidol, which I'm not a big drug person, but, you know, only if I absolutely have to. So I ended up just taking a baby aspirin, and I decided to go get another opinion at the university hospital here in Michigan.
Yep.
And they did the whole testing, and they told me that everything was normal. They didn't see any. So now I'm confused between how can you have such extreme diagnosis for the same thing.
Yeah, so this is an interesting question, Lisa, and it kind of really points to it, and good for you that you got a second opinion, because sometimes doctors go off on a tangent. They have a peripheral vascular surgeon deals with peripheral vascular disease and is looking for peripheral vascular disease and maybe biased in favor of that diagnosis. So they, you know, you may have a minor circulatory discrepancy. In other words, maybe cold foot on one side as opposed to another. And true peripheral arterial disease, or PAD, means that you have a blockage, and it's usually due to atherosclerosis. And it's often associated with risk factors like very high cholesterol and smoking and diabetes. And that's when you get true peripheral artery disease, where maybe it is appropriate for you to be on multiple drugs to promote circulation, because after all, you can get awful circulation, you can get foot problems, you can get gangrene, amputation is a potential risk. And yeah, you go full court press on that maybe. But without seeing the test results, I can't really tell you what's going on. But it is possible that you have either anatomically a narrowed vessel, you know, on one side that's not due to atherosclerosis, or maybe you've got some kind of reflex that clamps down or causes your blood vessel on one side to spasm. Maybe this is a variant on, you know, something like Raynaud's syndrome, you know, where you get poor circulation in the hands and feet. You know, I would take the money and run with the diagnosis that you don't have these conditions. And I kind of would like to see what your results show before I weigh in with suggestions. But for poor circulation, there are a couple of things. First of all, I would suggest that you take a lot of fish oil. That always helps. I personally had really painful hands in cold weather. I'm a California boy, and maybe I wasn't acclimated to northeast temperatures here in the States. Then I began taking fish oil a few years back, and the condition has dissipated. Magnesium helps to reduce spasm, so you should be taking magnesium to prevent arterial spasm that clamps off your circulation. Also consider something like pycnogenol, which is a circulatory enhancer. Pycnogenol or grapeseed extract, they tend to help to dilate blood vessels. And don't forget one of our good sponsors, because, you know, we've talked about Super Beets on this program. We have also talked about Heart Greens, and that's the nitric oxide principle. Nitric oxide dilates arteries. And so you may get a circulatory enhancement effect from one of these nitric oxide precursors. The dietary nitrates come from vegetables like beets and kale, and these products incorporate concentrates of those vegetables that promote nitric oxide metabolism. Other thing you consider, arginine has sometimes been used for dilating blood vessels, and that's a possibility. We use arginine supplements sometimes at the Hoffman Center for patients with circulatory issues. And, you know, as long as you don't have true blockage, these things should work. People with true blockage, serious blockage, they may require something like chelation therapy to open things up, or, you know, worst case scenario, a form of surgery, angioplasty, or some kind of bypass surgery to bypass the blocked or narrowed area. But I, you know, clearly that's not your problem. And, you know, did the last three doctors?
I'm sorry.
You don't have a true
blockage. How would I find out if I do have a true blockage? Because I don't know.
Oh, you don't know whether you have a true blockage or not at the end of it?
I mean, well, one hospital tells me I have peripheral, and the other one tells me everything came out normal.
Well, I would generally go, you know, see, here's the thing. I mean, I always go with the more conservative diagnosis. Obviously, the second hospital seemed to dispel the previous diagnosis. So, again, without seeing your results, I can't completely give you a clean bill of health on circulation. But it sounds like, you know, at the very least, there's some doubt as to whether you have a true blockage. And I probably would go with the conclusion that it's not a fixed obstruction in your arteries. Okay?
Should I go a third opinion?
No. I think you should probably go, you should probably rest assured that it's not, you know, a dire situation there. You know, I can't really tell you without looking at the results, though.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call. And, you know, you bring up an issue which is important. You know, peripheral artery disease is a really serious problem. All right. This item, and this is something which I find fascinating because I'm an inveterate runner. You know, I also do other forms of exercise, but I love to run. And one of the reasons you run is for physical fitness, right? It improves your lungs, improves your circulation, muscle tone, balance. That's all good. But it turns out, according to research, that runners' brains may be more connected. And I need a lot of brain connectivity to do all the writing that I do, to see patients, to do this program. Productivity is at a premium, and most of that comes from optimal brain function. Runners' brains may be more connected, according to research. MRI scans show that running may affect the structure and function of the brain in ways similar to complex tasks like playing a musical instrument. Well, I'm sorry, I don't play the guitar or piano, but I do run. Runners showed greater functional connectivity. There are more connections between distinct brain regions than non-runners. The parts of the brain affected the frontal cortex, which is important for cognitive functions such as planning, decision-making, the ability to switch attention between tasks. And so that's a very cool study suggesting that running may add to your brain power and slow down that process by which your brain deteriorates over time. Well, thanks very much for joining us. Have a happy holiday, and we'll continue to broadcast right through the holidays. So join us again next week for Intelligent Medicine. Check out our website at drhoffman.com and check out our podcast as well. How far would you go to maintain healthy blood pressure? Would you eat 3 bowls of kale and spinach every day? Well, probably not. But lucky for you, you don't have to. Helping to support healthy blood pressure and circulation just became hassle-free. Introducing Heart Greens from Human N, the functional food that you drink using the same dark leafy greens recommended by both the DASH and Mediterranean diets. Heart Greens are specially tested for high dietary nitrates, which convert to nitric oxide in the body. That's why it works so well for supporting healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. Get a free canister of Heart Greens with your first order and a 100% money-back guarantee. Heart Greens even guarantees you'll love the taste. Plus, receive a set of nitric oxide indicator strips to monitor your dietary nitrate levels before and after and see the change for yourself. Try Heart Greens. You'll love it. Call 800-951-8940. That's 800-951-8940. Or visit IntelligentGreens.com. That's IntelligentGreens.com.